Well, good evening. Can I just thank you, Stephen, for your very kind welcome, Dave, for your lovely prayers, and can I just thank you for the music as well? You've played almost every favourite song of mine so far, and it's been a real delight to be here with you this evening. And I hope that what I have to share with you reflects very much what we've been singing already. What I want to talk to you about tonight is repentance. Repentance. And that image that's going to be on the screen behind me will be on the screen for the whole time that I'm going to talk with you. I think it's a really powerful and helpful image, and I'll refer to it from time to time. But repentance can often be one of those very sort of theological words that is often made to seem much higher and harder to grasp than it actually is. Repentance is a beautifully simple thing. And hopefully tonight, as we talk about that a little bit, we'll see both how simple it is and how beautiful it is, but also how much of a challenge it is to us all at the same time. I don't know if you've ever heard of J.I. Packer. I would imagine that quite a lot of you have. J.I. Packer is a bit of a hero of mine in the faith. And he writes that those that preach the gospel, those that teach the word of God, in this day and age, neglect to talk about repentance as often as they should. And for me, I take that as a personal challenge, because he's right. We sometimes avoid this word because we haven't really taken the time to grasp what it truly means. So tonight, hopefully, we can explore it together. In this part of the world where we live, where the gospel is faithfully preached, and where we know much about the story of God, sometimes repentance means that one moment where someone hears the gospel, they hear the call of Christ, they respond, they are saved, and then repentance is done. Repent and be saved is the cry that we often hear, and that is not incorrect. Repentance does indeed mean what is happening here, that a person walking away from God into sin and into destruction turns away from that and walks a different direction into life and light and all the things of God. That is true. There has to be that moment, which is different for the individual, circumstances different from person to person, but there has to be that moment where we turn away from sin and turn to God, where we repent. But that's only half the picture, because the other half of the picture of repentance is continuing to walk in that direction towards God and trusting in him and growing in him and being reshaped and refashioned by him, learning, leaning, growing. Repentance is not just a one decision. It is a journey of life where we become less and God becomes more. There is a canary and a raven are having a conversation. And the canary sits in the cage, and the raven flies to the open window and sits on a little branch outside the window. And he says to the canary, "What are you for?" And the canary says, "Why, I sing so beautifully." And the raven says, "But why?" "Because I get grain to eat." "Why?" "So I can be strong." "Why?" "So I can sing." "Why?" "So I get grain to eat." "Why?" "So I can be strong." "Why?" "So I can sing." And it went on, and it went on, and it went on, and it went on. And the raven said, "Do you not know that you were made for so much more than this? Look out the window and see the world that is in front of you. You were made to fly. Come and fly with me." And is that not the case so often in our church life today, that instead of saved and serving, instead of saved and living, we are saved and stuck? We find ourselves with the right theology, we find ourselves with the right understandings, but we don't do anything with it. We have our cage, which is beautiful and protects us and looks after us. We have our worship where we sing to God. But we don't step out of the cage and fly and soar on the wings of eagles the way we have been called to make known the gospel to those who have not heard about Christ. You see, repentance calls us to not be saved and stuck, but saved and serving, saved and living out that which God has called us to do. It's like a regiment of soldiers marching in a direction, given the command to halt and turn and march in an opposite direction. And sometimes that can be costly, because sometimes it means we have to confront the nature of who we are, and sometimes that's not very nice. Sometimes it means we have to give up stuff. Sometimes it means we have to stand up for the Lord in circumstances which are difficult. It means we have to give up on an individual way of life where it's our wants and our preferences and our needs before God's. It's costly. It's beautiful. Because in doing so, we become more and more like God. John Calvin, another hero of mine in the faith, writes this: there are two things that we ought to know. We ought to know God and know ourselves. When we know God as holy and pure and beautiful and righteous and good, and we look at ourselves and we see, well, actually, I'm not holy and I'm not righteous and I'm not good. What is our reaction then to God? I need you. Here's an interesting quote which pickles your head a little bit, but I think actually once you get round it, it's a beautiful way to look at it. J.I. Packer again, this is what he writes. Repentance means turning from as much as you know of your sin to give as much as you know of yourself to as much as you know of God. And as our knowledge grows in these three points, so does our practice of repentance day by day. When we know God, we know ourselves. We want to give all that we can to God and shed all of the things that get in the way so that we can live for Him and for His glory. Maybe Spurgeon says it better. Repentance is a discovery of the evil of sin and a sadness that we have committed it and a resolution to forsake it. It is, in fact, a change of mind and a very deep change of character, which means we love that which we once hated and hate that we once loved. John the Baptist, does he not say the same thing? Does he not say, I must become less and Jesus must become more? And is that not what we already read about there from the Bible when we looked at the rock and the sand? A life without repentance is a life that is built upon the sand. The sand is not firm. The sand does not endure. The sand runs away with the waters of life, but the rock remains firm, steadfast and sure, firm ground to walk upon and to keep walking in faith and in victory. So who needs repentance is the next question. If that's a little bit of an idea about what repentance is, who needs it? Well, when Jesus came, he said this. The very first thing we have recorded in Jesus' ministry spoken for us are these words. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Or repent, for the kingdom of God is near. The very first thing Jesus has to say in his earthly ministry. He also goes on to say, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He goes on to say, unless you repent, you will likewise perish. Washed away by the flood. So Jesus' demand to repent, he spoke that to whoever was gathered in front of him, to all who would listen, and it called for a radical change of direction, a radical change of life. But Jesus also spoke to his followers and he said, I'm going to teach you how to pray, and I'm going to ask you to pray this. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. In other words, repentance is a call for both the believer and the unbeliever. The unbeliever is called to turn to God for the first time, to lean upon Him for the first time, to express their need of Him for the first time. But the believer is challenged to continually lean upon God, and to continually seek for forgiveness of their sins, to continually grow and to continually develop and continually rely upon God. So therefore, repentance is a call for both the believer and the unbeliever. In other words, repentance is a call for everyone. Jesus says, if God were your Father, you would love me. And is that not the call of repentance? To love the Lord more and more. To think of Paul. When Paul says, I want to know Christ. Paul! Who knew Christ better than Paul? But Paul saw that he needed more and more of Christ. He needed to know him better and better in this ongoing walk of repentance. Know God and know yourself and realize that each one of us needs to be more and more like God, to think about what he said to his people right from the very start. Be holy, for I, your God, am holy. If this is us, God, just like this cup, fashioned something beautiful and unique. It's a GB cup, but that's just by accident because it was the first one I picked out of the cupboard. So it doesn't matter that it's a GB cup, it's just a cup. But the potter made this cup. He made it unique and beautiful. But he made it with a purpose. Just like God has made each one of us beautiful in his sight, in his image, with a purpose to glorify him. What is a cup meant to do? But a cup is meant to hold liquid, hold water, and be able, therefore, to spread it, to be given to someone to drink, and therefore to be refreshed by that liquid or that water. But the problem is, the life in which we live, because of our sin, we find that we live like this. But that's actually the way we find ourselves, that we are not facing God and relying upon him, but we are facing the world and all the difficulties and struggles that are there, and the way of life that the world seeks us to live. So when God comes to pour out his blessing upon us, to fill us with his goodness and his light and with his life so that we might share it, what happens? Well, it's a wee bit like this. It's not very spectacular, is it? We kind of get some of it, don't we? We get some of his blessing. Maybe comfortable lives, fulfilling relationships, the beauty of his creation. But we don't have anything to share, and we're not really doing what it is that he has made us to do. And that's why repentance is the turn around, where we turn around, not to face the world anymore, not to rely upon the sand anymore, but to look to the rock, so that when he pours out his blessing upon us, not only are we filled, but we continue to be filled. As we continue to grow, as we continue to lean upon him, as we continue to understand more of who he is and be more like him, not only are we filled, but our cup runneth over, so that there is more than enough for us and more than enough to share. Yes, repentance is an ongoing thing because there'll be times in life where we'll kind of lose focus and things will not really meet the way they ought to meet. But through ongoing repentance and ongoing focus upon God, that blessing will flow enough for us to be refreshed and enough for us to share. If we look at the story of Joseph, which we were doing this morning in Warm Point and Ross Trevor, we see a group of brothers that go and stand before their younger brother Joseph, and they didn't know it was him. And one of the things that's interesting about the conversation they have is that they look at the world in which they have found themselves in and the situation that they have been greeted with. And we see that they begin to look into their own hearts. They begin to say things like, it was because of our sin and because of the mistakes we made and because of the situations that we allowed to develop. That's why we are in this bad position now. And there's a sense that in that story, I found myself drawn to this idea that God uses our circumstances, our past sins and the consequences for our sins and all of that to help us to see our need of repentance. God does not use our history and our circumstances and the consequences of our sin to hit us with a stick. But he uses it so that we in our conscience would be drawn to see our need and ongoing need of him. Think of also of Joseph. as he sat in prison for more than a decade, and as he dealt with all of the bitterness and anger of being left by his family, neglected by his friends, put in prison when he did nothing to deserve it. And think about that battle that went on in his own heart, that when he stood in front of his brothers, he had the chance for revenge and retribution. But he didn't. Because through that long journey that is repentance, it's not an instant thing. And that long journey in the cell, thinking and reflecting upon the character and the nature of God and the character and nature of himself, I think is a picture of repentance, that ongoing journey. And finally, God shapes his people and brings them about. God shapes his people and brings them about. And also in doing so, brings his purposes about through the work of repentance. So repentance is something that is put to us by our conscience through the work of God. It is something that is a lifetime journey. And it is something through which God will bring together his people and his purposes. They didn't know it, these brothers, that they stood in front of Joseph. They were so wrapped up in their own circumstances that they didn't see the big picture of what God was doing. That through these brothers, God was actually fulfilling the promise that he gave to Abraham. And this great promise that would run and run and run and run, a promise that a nation would be built that would honour God, and a nation that would spring forth the Messiah, and the Messiah that would build a kingdom, and the kingdom that would be returned by him in glory, where all the wickedness, all the death, all the sin, all the darkness, everything that made repentance necessary is defeated and gone. So actually, these ordinary brothers were part of a plan of God, and so are we in Kilkeel tonight. Our own story of repentance is not unimportant. Our own story of repentance is not just a footnote somewhere. Our story of repentance is an echo, is a part of the wider story of God, that he, through the work of his Son, is defeating and destroying all of the things that made repentance necessary in the first place. That the flood will wash away, but that upon the rock will stand. The psalmist says, O Lord, you are my fortress and my rock. So repentance is hard, but it ultimately points us to the amazing love of God. That he would do so much for us. That he would love us so much that he would help us to walk with him until we would finally rest in his arms. And as we walk, we learn by leaning upon him to cast away our burdens and all the rubbish that we pick up along the way. So today, and to bring this to some kind of conclusion, there must be one of two reactions to this, surely. There has to be. There can't be room for inaction. Either we hear the call of God for the first time and we turn to him in repentance and in faith. We turn and walk away from the world unto him. Or we are encouraged afresh to keep on walking. To know who we are in God, that we have been saved by him. And therefore have the confidence to put one foot in front of the other in faith and victory. And to do as that little canary ought to have done, and to fly, to overspill, so that others too would come to know of this wonderful and beautiful thing that is repentance. One that leads to a journey that will not lead us to perish, but will lead us to life. Will we pray? Let's pray. Oh Father, we thank you for this wonderful story, that you would send your only Son, your most precious possession, with a message that would call people from all places and all backgrounds and all circumstances to repent, to believe the good news, and to be part of this great tapestry, this wonderful work of art that you are making. A kingdom that reflects your glory. Father, we pray that for those of us who have walked the path of faith for a long time, Father, help us when we are tired. Help us when we are frustrated with the world. Help us when we feel heavy burdened with the things that are in our lives. And help us to stand up straight, to march in confidence and in strength, knowing that the ground upon which we walk is solid as the rock. And I pray, O Lord God, that if there's even one person here this evening that's heard the story of your Son and the gospel many, many times, but yet has never come to that place where they turned away and turned to bask in his light and walk in his glory, that perhaps tonight they would hear their Master's voice and that they would turn and that they would walk and together we would soar. We pray all of this in and through the name of Jesus and by the mysteries and powers of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
We're now going to sing our final hymn, Jesus All for Jesus. Let's stand and sing.